他的工作的时候的全身上有病人狂血的时候，他以为你全民他狂血的全民被你跑出来一下等等。Our meeting is focused on the evaluation of peace. Yesterday, when we started the meeting, we started with the amendment, or we started with the report from the department as far as the submission was concerned. Now,we made an evaluation thereafter outside the meeting to realize that we were supposed to go into the meeting, and the meeting would have informed us in terms of the amendments that were made from the public hearing, that when we go cross by cross, in any cross where there is an infection,that we call and we get the impression from the department and we proceed that way. And in the process, we also listen to the response of the different parties in the deliberation, so that by the time we finish, we will not be expected to go back to start cross by cross again. We would have completed the work up to where we have ended. So can I have a reception from the committee that is how we proceed? But before we even do that, there is a matter that we left out yesterday that I think the committee should look into before we even get into the meeting, so that we conclude on it and then go into the bill with a clear understanding of how are we going to address ourselves to that matter. There is a dinner today. I think yesterday in our TV we noticed that there was a handover of the party from a head to another head of the defense, and we were not represented at the committee. Now we wanted to then present it to the committee first and to see what is the response of the committee in regard to the dinner of the reception of the general who has been appointed yesterday. Can I give it to the meeting?
I'm pleased with you that you raised this question. I also on TV last night saw the General Shoghi reportedly now taking over as Chief of the FNDO. And I was very disappointed that members of this committee, so far as I'm aware, were not invited to that committee. And so I would propose that the chairperson of the committee write to the minister and ask the minister to provide them information as to why members of the committee were not invited to that committee and to describe what kind of corrective steps might be taken to ensure that this kind of thing does not happen again. Could Chair, I make that point because the fact that the committee was not invited is part of the trick. The committee has never been invited to important functions held by the FNDO. A good example was our election to Parliament. The South African airports have hosted two major parades and celebrations. This committee was not invited. So my proposal is that the chairperson write to the minister and ask the minister to provide them information as to why the committee was not invited and to describe what corrective steps were taken. As regards the dinner, chairperson, I'm not aware of the dinner, and I wonder if you could just enlighten us
I request that the DPU do that in the brief?
Thank you, Chair. The dinner is fairly enough for the outgoing chief, the incoming chief. He had a change of command yesterday. To the other presidential guest house in Pretoria and prepared it over by the minister. At this stage, I'm not sure whether the president will be in attendance to the dinner, but certainly the minister.
Of the letter to the minister has been noted, and I just have to repeat ourselves.
On the question being on the dinner, I think the DG finds himself in a difficult predicament and is trying to solve the problem in a positive way. I welcome that. I will support the proposal that five members of the committee attend the dinner this evening. I unfortunately am not able to attend the dinner, but I would be very pleased if the committee were represented.
That is an exception that the committee sent five people to the dinner. I'm not sure if we have to go through identifying those people who should then attend the dinner, or we have volunteers. But before we even do that, I think we have to go through the legislative approach of Parliament in allowing members to be absented from whatever activities that will be taking place during the time when they will be attending the dinner. Now, according to the legislative process, we need to make an application to the Office of the Chief Whip. And from the House of Chair of Chess, and the decision is subject to the Chief Whip and the House Chair for approval. I want us to note that so that whatever conclusion that we arrive at, that conclusion will be subject to the approval of those two houses. Okay. A member saying that I should bring what?
Thank you, Sir President. I don't want to be pinpoint that because I'm from that background, the military background where I've been commanded for years. So this time I'll say I volunteer. Thank you, Chair.
I'm quite comfortable with our team member of the committee attending the response, of course, as you correctly point out. I would be pleased if, at a minimum, the chair of the portfolio committee for the joint standing committee were present to represent the response.
I also would have given. I would have loved to, but for him to have been a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the chair of the committee, but I know that the chair of the committee already in 20, and he is going to attend the dinner to work at the arrangement of the day. Possibly nominated for the day, joint standing committee. But it's not a matter for our committee. Also, it's not a matter for us to command the chair of the joint standing committee whether he should attend or not. We have two members who have volunteers to go. Can I have other names, or are we closing at the names that have been on the volunteer center? So we have got two names. Are we in agreement that the Secretary must make a letter requesting for the permission for the two names to be allowed to attend the dinner in the evening? Can I have a mover and a seconder? Okay. Yeah, he really wants to. Comrade, can we very far? I'm sorry. Fred has not been trained to be a chairperson of the portfolio committee and only a chairperson of the political party. Can we then go to our business of the day and go into the deliberation of the act? We will start with designation. Can I Mr. what is your name? From department. Can I ask the concentration of the committee? Now on cause one. Yesterday there were submissions that changes some of the causes on cause one.
That's not so neat. Yesterday we made some amendments. And it could have been far better if we had been with the complete one so that we know what is going on. Now we are going to deal with something that is not amended again. And we may need some of the things. I don't know why we should be that. Something that is already amended, but I'm not sure. Yesterday we have made amendments and this has been amended so that we can go right. Thinking what was added yesterday on this.
I've not received any draft of the amendment, and hence we are saying let us go cross by cross. If we have agreed on something, all that we need to do is to say we have discussed cross one, that what, where, and if we are in agreement with us. If there was any amendment, we identify that amendment so that we now proceed accept the deal that it is presented before us.
Can just say someone has just departed in mind that line those who are saying what is being amended to what we were on.
Since the blue slot is going to be amended for the session, and as the Honorable Chairman Matan was indicating, that we should have had the hard copy to indicate the role of the session. But in terms of the slot one, what was proposed, that has been dealt with.
That the definition may be overly broad. My proposal is as follows. Would be dependence in relation to a military veteran means a person who is the spouse, widow, widower, life partner, or child of a military veteran. That's A. B. Who is otherwise legally dependent on a military veteran for support and maintenance. And C. Who complies with the requirements and conditions which may be prescribed. Here I draw that definition from two sources. The one is the 1999 Act, and the other is the military veteran task team definition. In the task team definition, they define the dependent as a spouse, widower, life partner, child, or anyone who is dependent upon military veteran support and maintenance, and in compliance with the requirements and conditions which may be prescribed.
Thank you, Chief. The chief, what would you recommend what the honourable member is saying in terms of this bill and also being afraid of writing a lot of things in that definition? I would suggest that the definition says in relation to a military veteran means any person. That will include those which the member has mentioned in his submission. Any person who is legally, that will then explain how a person is dependent in the A, B, and C that the member has submitted. Legal treatment dependent on that military veteran for support and maintenance. And of course, you must remember that we are also saying in this bill that all these will be subjected to the means test. Meaning that if one or of these will be subject to that means test. Thank you.
The question I'm just a little bit confused with the means test. Because the means test is a test that is going to check if people are too qualified for those things. That's the means test. But if we're going to define the dependent and then we say subject to the means test, it's going to be a little bit confused. Because the means test is, do you qualify for this? That's the reason. Or you don't qualify.
I assume the member was just trying to motivate. It's not what she is suggesting to be in the amendment. What she is suggesting to be in the amendment is that after any person who is, it may include legally dependent. I think that is what she is trying to say. As all the other things, it's just again to try and take your mind to respond to the submission. Am I correct?
Yes,
yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I have another major problem with that proposal. But my question would be if this would be law, which has been brought about the criticism, the term legally dependent, would that include then a widow or spouse or life partner or child? I would just want to, I'm unsure, it's just a question in law. I would not want this to be asked in law where dependent did not include a widow or spouse.
We invite legal brains.
If I may check with you. Yes, if we insert the word legally, it would qualify as dependent. and only those that are in more recognized opinion which is qualified as opinion. They may perhaps be I can't see this is asking out where the person there's no legal obligation to provide the assistance, but where when there's this no legal obligation to provide maintenance, but in fact the person is dependent on the military veteran. So I would be hesitant to put in the qualifier legally as a dependent.
Chair, I understand the legal advisor's position and concern. Once I answered my question, if we amended the definition of dependent to a person who is really independent, would that include, for example, a spouse or a widow or a life partner or a child?
If I listen carefully, the response was yes. Though the respondent went on to say it will be a problem if it is specified. Because your legal dependents are those that are in your register. Can we pass to clause to the second amendment?
Okay, just one line on the first amendment. Did I understand the word by the correctly to say the concern about including the term legal? If that is correct, why is he concerned?
No.
If the word legally is inserted in the definition, it would qualify the word dependent. In other words, only those that are recognized to be legally dependent would qualify as dependent. While if we don't have the word, the definition is wider and it includes persons who are not legally dependent on the person, but in fact depend on the person.
The second issue I really going to talk about legal independence, and somewhere where you have a definition of legal independence, so that everyone can understand what is legal independence.
I'm not sure, but I think also let us have the legal brain to respond to the question.
Sorry, I didn't hear that remark.
Honorable Matango is arguing that if we have legal dependence, we then suggest that from definition, we then have legally infected. It should express itself in the definition. I don't think that is a problem at all, but I want your response.
I'm not sure I'm following it. Is the intention to insert legally for dependent, then as I said, it would qualify the word and to restrict it to only people who are in law dependent. For instance, I'm not sure whether a member of an extended family
in our law, even as our law countries then, qualified as a defendant, legally defendant. So my suggestion is that the committee consider leaving the definition as wide.
In the view of what the legals are saying here, I would then suggest that we maintain that definition because in terms of what the member has suggested, A and C also talk to that. It encompasses all of those. Whether we are a spouse, widower, a widow, or an extended member, or an extended member, dependent, is captured in that definition. Then, because also, we do not want to restrict that dependence must not be because remember, there are those who are at this moment are no longer here, who are supposed to have benefited out of what we are doing. So if those who are not here, they are dependent in terms of close, then the extended must be those that are dependent. If that legal is going to be restricted, that ends. I therefore suggest that we should add it, but we maintain that definition as E because it talks to all those three, A, B, and C, that the Honorable Member suggested. Thank you, Chair.
Are we in agreement?
Chair, it might be that our intention should be as specific as possible. And for that reason, I would not support leaving the definition of dependent overly broad. I could, however, support the first proposal, which would be to insert the
can we proceed, member? Okay. No, I think the intention of legally was proposed and it was seconded in line with ensuring that the areas that you proposed are covered. Can we then proceed? Can we then proceed? I should remind you, this is your meeting, it's not my meeting.
Chair, I then like to propose an amendment to the definition of military veteran. The definition in the bill is clear and taken as read. I'd like, before I make my proposal, I'd like to motivate for it. During the public submission, there were several submissions that said, well, we need to specify in the interest of clear law exactly what we need and set out exactly which institutions should be included, or which military organization should be included in the definition. And so, and that should be in line with the government's interim policy, which seems roughly to have to insert a broad definition of military veteran, which would lead to a large potential population of military veterans, which would then be reduced by the AFM, which seems very sensible to people. And so the definition which I would like to propose, which would read as follows. military veteran means any South African citizen who served voluntarily or under conscription or call up as a member of A1, the Albanian People's Liberation Army, the Botswana Defence Force, the Sinkai Defence Force, the South African Defence Force, the Transkei Defence Force, or Kosovo Zizwe, the Defence Force, between the 31st of May 1960 and the 26th of April 1994, or the Union Defence Force before the 31st of May 1961, or the South African National Defence Force after the 26th of April 1994, and have completed his or her military training and no longer performed military service and has not been responded to any discharge, with of course the additional amendment proposed by the department. That is my proposal.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the Honourable Member there left those who have fought. He mentioned everybody but left out those who have fought to be part of the military or defend themselves militarily. Then we're talking about the two-thirds of the whole country being military. I think we have, and I think the definition as it stands does talk to people who are trained militarily and it has tried. Because, even though the department is here, because those who came from non-certified forces, our certified personnel register was submitted to the department so that we can form a new South African National Defence Corps. Now what I would say is, those who deliberately did not come forth to be entered into the certified personnel register, what are we saying about that? And what about those who were forced to be part of this militarization? Because there are people who were forced to be militarized so that they can defend themselves. But what we have been saying is that we are dealing with people who are in the full employ of the defense. Because if then that's the argument, this means us as terrorists will not necessarily militarize or militarize. What are we saying, Chair? Thank you.
I'm not sure I understand the Honourable Member's position on, quote, those who were forced, but I do think I understand her position on the people who may not be on, or individuals who may not be on the certified personnel register. The fact is, with that unit, that I propose a further amendment which would provide for exactly that text. During the departmental briefing, the DG will appear that he has to deal with instances where individuals were not included on the certified personnel register that were nevertheless members of, for example, on prostitution. So, the fact that in cases of eventuality, I propose a further amendment in sub 2. Of the definition, where a member who finds him or herself in that position would be able to apply to the department and there would be a verification to include that person on the certified personnel register and for that person to be eligible for benefits provided by part of the member. But the intention of the department and the intention that I support. A broad and inclusive
definition. Can I make a Chair, the amended definition as it stands
is going to provide us with a fundamental problem. If we start to enumerate a specific form of possession, or let me put it the other way, constituent forces of the FANDF from 1994, 27 April 1994 onwards. The issue has at hand there is that matter of construction of conflict, and it is that which we should address. But in addressing that, we should do so with a view not to include in the definition, but to leave the definition that is before us in the best as it is, because it is all inclusive. With the matter of construction, in fact, I want to pick up, I think one of the members and spoke about the 35th technology. In accordance with the agreement of the TDC, Transitional Development Council, and up to the point of the interim constitution, the agreement was that all forces submit in a 35th names and details of their members. Now, those who were conscripted up to that point, and at that time, conscription had been stopped. Those who were conscripted up to that point were not included as part of the former FADF 35th personnel register. So the 35th personnel register becomes a critical element in for consideration, because it is that which forms the basis for the establishment of the FANDF, because that provision in the Indian Constitution, Section 24, and so on, clearly stipulated that as of midnight of 26th of April 1994, all former forces, and then they were listed, whether statutory and non-statutory, at that point, will cease to exist from midnight 27th of April onwards, and will be taken as the South African National Defence Force. So that's the context that should be understood. And therefore, we would then want to say that the definition as currently stands suffices for purposes of this bill, and hopefully will pass with that definition as currently standing, because it is then for all policies.
Thank you. I would like to agree with what the DG is saying. Let's leave this information as it is. Those individuals that feel that in that house, what I had honorable mayor talking about, those that have been left out from the city house, I think individually, they'll have to go to the department and make their individual submission to say, I was left out because of 1, 2, 3, and so and so, and they'll be subjected to a minister and be put into a certified register, because I think that's a rule which is still open, isn't it? So if this is an act is going to close automatically, but for those people are in a department, so let's leave the definition as it is, because it really does cover the universal population.
Thank you, the Honourable Chair. I was saying that the department takes cognizance of the fact that there are some for one or two reasons who might have been left out. But out of the verification, and then we'll be dealing with those cases on individual basis. Because we need to go through that. Otherwise, we might find ourselves in a situation where these people are presenting themselves as being military veterans in that house. So I think the department has got two things in place, and that is part of the consideration of the database. that like the Honorable Lambo has indicated, they don't present themselves as individuals, and they will be dealt with through that verification, you know, a team of honest, which will be properly represented.
I don't know if you have the answer to this.
Firstly, if that person is a minister and so and so, and then upon seeking to access the benefit, after the minister, then there will be a leader. No, I'm saying if the person, upon presenting himself, is proven, positively proven to be a minister vessel, whose bona fides has been proven to be a minister vessel, and then the issue of the minister, of course, is in the context of accessing the benefit, one or four of the benefits. Then they pass the minister, then they would be a minister.
Honorable Daniel.
Thank you, Chair. I said, let me borrow the honorable member of the complaint of the costing. Because you seem to be bent on including everybody in the system. Even though this definition does talk to everybody who has trained militarily, etc. Then, as I said before, a person who had a military training as a member of a community, as a first defense unit, you name them, all the names that were there, of grouping of people that were militarized to defend themselves, to defend their community, they were also militarized. But then do we have the money so that we can be able to give benefits to these people? Because I think the definition does talk to people when militarily trained, and the scope. But also what the DG has said, the intent, people will go through that. Why then do you want to open it more broader and mention names and individuals when people will be going through this process? So just as the church. Thank you.
Let me again bring the meeting back to the delay or the argument. The argument here is that people who have underwent training, military training, if they present themselves before whoever is going to be dealing with that section, they will have to prove themselves that yes, they did undergo military training and they are qualified soldiers. And through that process, people will then prove themselves to be soldiers and be approved. Is that my understanding?
Yes, that's
my apologies. I can't understand the working of Parliament. I mean, there are two budget votes going on at this moment. This afternoon we are
to vote. I want to just remind you that keep it in your mind that you owe the committee 500 rand for the incumbent.
500 rand. Okay, thank you, Chair. I will remember this, but I think this committee owed me a couple of thousand rand in court. They want me to participate in the debate, but I also have to be here. Sorry, coming in from the side of the contestant, man, just responding on the question of what I've heard. And this repeatedly said, if a person is a military veteran and he passes the means test, that sounds good. But I want to know from him, how does he define a military veteran? Because he says, if a person is a military veteran, what is a military veteran? And that is very crucial, gentlemen. This is actually the core and the starting point of this whole bill.
because if you do not qualify as military veterans, it doesn't, I mean, then you do not qualify. You can't just say each and every individual must come forward and say that they did some military or training or proof about that. That's why we have the book, to define it. So it is very, very important that the definition in the book, there must be no misunderstanding who and what is a military veteran. And so I must come with the specifics here from him, that how does he interpret a military veteran according to the law?
Can I suggest that we put this aside and allow the DG to go and think over it and give us a definite response to the question or the concern at the end, and by then we will then continue to deliver it well. We agree, honourable members, on DG.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity that the department looks at this. But before we step off it and if I may pose a question to the honourable member, whether it is felt that the current definition does the committee, or is the committee of the view that the definition as currently stands in the text is insufficient?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I want to allow that to take place, because possibly it may also bring up other matters that are not related to the debate. All we want from the department is to go and look at it and see how they can impress upon us on it as it is reflected in the bill now, so that we are in the same page in the way that they understand it. So which means we want more or better motivation around how it will be presented. Am I correct, member?
Yes, because this, the department feels that this designation is the correct one. They will come back and say it's the correct one, but they would have applied again their mind.
Are we
in that note, then can we then proceed?
Thank you.
may be regarded as a military deity for a member of any additional military organization may be regarded as a military deity for the purpose of the act, provided that the minister shall, in the event, prescribe a membership verification process.
Can I have the registration of members? Can I have the comment of the department?
Is the proposed session or amendment for the Citizen, what is intended with the proposed session or amendment? Because looking at what is said, I think part of it already carried in that too.
From the intention of the general at the time when we were debating on the definition of what was the beneficiaries or what, I think he made a substantive argument around members who were not included. And what is the profit? Can we ask him to repeat what he said?
I was really thinking about my job. The department, as part of the consolidation of the data, has acknowledged the fact that there are those members for one or two reasons who might have been excluded from the 35%. And therefore, it is incumbent upon those individuals present themselves before the department, so the department can constitute a verification panel to determine their bona fide. So that's what the department has been mandated to do. So what I was saying is that the honorable said that those members who have been there, they will then be afforded an opportunity to appear before the department. And the department to verify they are going to be.
And it's been part of that purpose which I have tried to capture in my
definition. Given the fact that that process is in place, do we have to legislate it?
Chairperson, yes, I think we must legislate it because, it's quite clear what the powers of the minister is. And I think the proposal, specifically, as the Honourable Mania said, describes that there must be then a verification process. So I think this is enhancing the thought, and I will support. You know, it is always better to have and make legislation that is quite clear. And it actually, as I said, it answers it and it is prescribed it more clearly. For that reason, I will say yes, this would have been legislated. And at least even if more trust in the minister itself, it will be solved. I think that happens. It will always have to be a hope, maybe a hint at the end. But I mean, it will also, the power of the minister is more clear for the specific.
Thank you, sir.
I think already in this field, it does talk to the fact that those which were omitted could be looked into, because we've got deliveries and deliveries. We have.
Can you refer to the section?
Section 2 is called 1, section 2. It's in line 28. It says, from 27, it says, this act includes any regulations made under this act. 2 says, notwithstanding the definition of military deterrence, the minister may prescribe any corps, unit, army, or corps, the members of which must be regarded as military deterrence for the purpose of this. It does take that into consideration of the fact that there were those that were omitted. Because deliveries and deliveries. There were those deliveries that were not included. And there were those deliveries that were left out. And he talked to that already. So I do not understand, Chair, why should we change that or substitute that? Because already it captures it. It talks to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That is exactly the point. If you look at the subclause 2, the purpose of the subclause 2 is to accommodate those members who are not on the DPR, the certified personnel record. I think that's the main purpose of the subclause, or else if they have the definition, people comply to the definition, then they don't need subclause 2. But it doesn't say it as it is standing yet. Whereas the proposal makes it quite clear that when you have a situation where a person is not in the PCR, then there is a verification process. That's why I say that the proposal is actually an answer and makes the subclause more clear that there is no misunderstanding.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think subsection 2 it will make or is dependent on the definition in what the definition of military veterans. Because if you look at the definition of military veterans now, it compares status to individuals members, not collective members of the particular organization. But in 2 there we say the minister may prescribe any force, meaning collectively now. So I think we should also flag this to depending on the definition the department is going to recraft it in 1. I think because I think the 2 was crafted in such a way that members were recognized collectively as members of organizations that after our whatever and so on.
I want you to comfortable. Okay. Can we proceed?
Chair, I just wanted to check what I was saying there, because it is captured there. It is there. That definition says it all. Inclusive.
Which should be treated with 1. Which has been flagged.
Can you copy it?
Yes, one concern that we're proceeding on the basis that clause 1 sub 2 is flagged and is continuing on without our discussion and agreement on the definition of military veterans in sub 1. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I would like to move to clause 3, which covers the fundamental principle. And I would like to propose that we be a new could be subsection 1b. Now, my teaching there is really just to be to convey that one of the key and fundamental principles is that all military veterans in the Pacific be treated equally and have equal access to benefits. That is my intention to include an equality principle. The proposal that I made, and I'm sure that other members might be able to make some improvement from it, was simply to say that all military veterans and their dependents are entitled to equal access to benefits and services.
Honorable Kunawa, I am
Thank you, Chef. Chef, if I'm looking at clause 3, subsection B, I think, again, here it says, conversations with military veterans may be entitled for disablement, constitutes reparation, and it despite any provision in the contract contained in any law, not a word of it. Chair, we are merely saying that it is not a benefit for the sake of benefit. Yes, all military veterans will go through the process that we've already talked, and they will benefit. But because I'm a military veteran, that does not necessitate for me to go through there and say, I need my best and my benefits because I'm a military veteran. Because already, I am not destitute. Unless I don't understand what is the honor of the member saying. Because all he says is that all veterans will go through the same job by means of showing that we really are in need of the benefits.
Thank you, President. If the Honourable Man here can also just clarify for me, sorry, excuse me.
Honourable Madeira, can you stand for me for 2 seconds?
Okay, thank you. If you just can also clarify, if you look at clause 5 of the bill, where it refers to benefits related to military veterans, it says the benefits related to military veterans and his or her dependents are the following. If you can just clarify, because I understand that it's a fundamental principle, but I mean, the bill further in clause 5 actually confirms that. So I don't you can get that straight.
Honorable
Manny,
can you give that
thank you. I just want to be clear with my intention to immediately between the equality principle and the fundamental principles of the bill. And it was not my intention, my fault, possibly slightly worthy drafting, to not my intention to replace clause 3, subsection 1b, the Strategic Act. In response to the Honourable Kunawa, I understand that clause 5 sets out the benefits that the military veterans will be entitled to. I'm simply arguing that it's a fundamental principle that is going to be important to give expression to the constitutional principle that military veterans will be entitled to.
Honourable member, is this a clarification? It's clear to everybody. I see the name.
I'm a little bit in terms of the impression. Sorry, Honorable Member. I was going to say, Honorable Member, that I'm a little bit uncomfortable. We can't have the same thing. All military veterans and their dependents are entitled equal access to benefits and care. Now you have a situation of those Muslim refugees who don't necessarily qualify in terms of the needs. Approach the department to say, I need a house. I need this. So I think it explicitly explains that all Muslim veterans, they have got access to these benefits provided that they are going to pass the test in terms of the needs. So therefore, we need not. Our appeal to all our members that we need not have to be said. Because by inserting it's going to raise hopes, and even people who are going to qualify, the military veterans, they will then be approaching the department to say, I also want housing, I want this, I want that. So as it is, I think our appeal that we limited it, and individuals have got the answers, but they also need to be subject to everything. That would be my question.
Thank you.
Just a slight addition to that. Since we had the clause as the current extent, all military veterans and attendants and that people are suspended for services, that has the effect of nullifying Section 2, still on page 3. This is in the interpretation of the Act, which says, notwithstanding, this Act must not be interpreted as entitling any person who is defined as a military veteran in this Act, or his or her dependents, any benefit provided for in the Act, or any other law, merely on the ground of the fact that it is. So we are then, my colleague has said, we are now broadening it, and it means that we nullify that exclusionary measure, that even before we get to the issue of the
The department also wants to say that it is a lesson for me. Thank you, Mr. Edmund. I just want to add to what the committee has indicated. There are benefits that all military veterans would be able to access, like on the memorialization and on honor. Yeah, but the limited approach by this later implies that not all military veterans will access socioeconomic support.
Honorable members, the department is pretty much that this clause of the section must stand as it is. So I see Mr. Mani,
Thank you, Chief. Now, I see it this way, Chief. This proposed amendment is not an essential. I think it's only fine tuning it. It's a matter of putting on the earrings and everything to just fine tune the bolt. So I don't think it's really that one.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Members. I think we can proceed now.
I would share with you the Honorable Member. I would argue that you have tried to come back to this issue, but I want to be clear that my intention is to convey the fundamental principle that all military veterans, regardless of which military formation or military organization you may come from, are entitled to be treated equally. That is my intention. Perhaps we can come up with an alternative formulation.
I think one of the members, the department has explained everything, and you know, all of us who are here, and we understand the proceedings of the service. So now I'll appeal to the members that we can continue with clause. Can we continue with clause number 5?
Thank you, Chair. In clause 5, I propose that in
4, 5, 1, F, which reads, facilitation of or advice on business opportunities and one of the benefits of which community residents would be entitled to, of course, provided they pass the meeting test. My proposal is that if the facilitation of or advice on business opportunities can be digital. If I could motivate for that, I do not believe that the department should be engaged in facilitating or advising military veterans or groups of military veterans on this. Keep the department out of this. The department of military veterans has no business becoming involved with this.
Thank you. I would like to give this opportunity first to the department so that they can give us a more clarification on this. They can respond to this clause number 5 before and then I will give you over more.
Number 3. The Department of Military Veterans does not intend to be in the meeting. And as a phrase indicates, it's facilitation or advice on business opportunities. Which means that if we accept the principle that the Department of Military Veterans will be a one-stop shop for all matters relating to military veterans, we would then point to or guide a military veteran or their companies or whatever to the relevant institutions that exist in government or in the private sector or even in the private sector. And in fact, part of the reason for even doing this is so that we are certain or have the confidence that those who are coming forward with whatever business proposals or wanting to do that are actually military veterans. Because I can tell you now, the committee now, that there are many out there who claim to be military veterans who even go and seek or solicit in the name of military veterans. So the intention is not to do business, but the facilitation of that advice, pointing to particular other entities in government, state, or private outside, and also specifying ourselves that we are in this one of the new
I don't see anything wrong with this sense of facility. I think really the department is not saying to be given out again, but only to say go to IDC, for instance, and look for opportunities there. And maybe speak to the management that say, can you access this number of military veterans? So I think we shouldn't delete it, Honorable Mayor. You know, my experience in other countries is that, for instance, here, our neighbor, you know, the way they cater for their military veterans. Go to an extent of saying, you know what? Any government can to be issued. The first preference is given to military
So in this situation, it's only a question of facilitating, showing people, because to other people this is still dark. And they do have skills, some of them. So you can facilitate meeting, not that you are putting the department going to the past. That's my understanding.
If I understand the DT correctly, I understand, but the word advice, firstly, can create the impression that you are an expert on business and you give some advice. And then I agree with the Honorable Mayor, because I mean, we don't have people in the sense or in the department who are experts on business. Meaning by that, it's not their core business. Say facilitate can also create a problem because it means that you bring two parties together and you facilitate them. To say, for instance, yes, let's take the example of the Honorable Member for a tender, government tender. Now, if you facilitate, then indeed you bring a civil servant from a specific department and you get the veteran and they sit around the table, so we must come to the practice of it. And then you facilitate. Then the department will facilitate to see that there's a business opportunity. I don't think that is what you want. If I understand the DD correctly, there should be a sort of a service from the department if somebody wants to go into business. That the department can say, yes, we can help you in this sense that we can refer you to, for instance, an organization which will give you the professional advice if you want to start a business with you. Because, you know, sometimes people have money and they want to start a business, but it's not a viable business. Because there's not a proper business plan for you. So, and I have no problem with that. That the department says, be careful. We've got a lot of money now, but I don't think it is going to be a success. We want to refer you to somebody who is a professional that can see whether it is going to be viable or not. So maybe we should, that is what I understand from the DG, what the purpose is of this specific call. So then we have to formulate this in that sense that it is quite clear that the department itself will not get involved in the transaction of the business, but only to help somebody to refer that person to get professional advice.
Honorable Daniel.
Thank you, Chair.
Sir, I think one of the funerals is just for me. Facilitation.
When you are inspiring someone, facilitation.
I think the DT has spelled out that it is not the department that gets it in hand. But also it is imperative that department be seen helping military veterans. Being able to open up doors. This is not something new, Chet. It is not something new. There are 101 things that military veterans can do. But they need the assistance of the department to be able to do these things. It is the very reason that we are in this department, that it deals the issue of military veterans. Thank you, Chair.
The honorable chair, honorable member, that while we have to be talking about it, the department is mindful of the fact that there are no problems, you know, expertise in terms of speed. And therefore, in terms of this issue of expertise,
the department is in the process of creating what is an SPD, a special purpose guide.
Which one is not a special purpose?
A special purpose guide.
Yes.
Special purpose guide, which is going to be constituted by people with the necessary competence who will be there to take through the administration from business plan to relevant institutions where they can cost money and, of course, adhere if it is in terms of procurement processes to procurement processes. And as such, knowing that we have got people, we have got expertise like General Anderson, it is helping us to come up with that SPD so that it is there doing those things on behalf of the family. But like we are saying, it's facilitating. So they will be doing that particular thing. Because we should come to the realization that there has been this intervention for the simple reason that all of us have acknowledged the fact that the military veterans, they have been left out in the cold. Now, we as a department, in terms of be it participating in the economic mainstream of the country, we want the military veterans because we are saying they are a resource to also participate. So they have been left, and we are saying they should be taken on board and deliberately consciously. They will have to be taken through and ensuring that they access these benefits of course, having spoken about the mission and similar in terms of business opportunities will facilitate and advise, but not in the form of the Maswala of SPD, but we will be taking an SPD for that.
You're welcome, Honorable Nana. Allow you to speak.
Thanks, Chairperson, and for coming here. I had this debate on public enterprises this morning. Chairperson, can I say that? Look, if we're the one who say the Department of Veterans is the custodian of the affairs of military veterans. And if we agree on that, I don't get it why then we would want to shift some of the responsibilities to somebody else. If part of the problem facing military veterans is entry into business, and on the other hand you say military veterans are your problem as the Department of Military Veterans, you should also take it upon yourself to ensure that they enter the field as well. So for me, I really don't see anything that could cause some eyebrows in this regard. As I'm saying to you, if we agree that it is the department's responsibility to look after the head of the academy, therefore, that clause to me is appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would once again urge members of the committee to think very carefully about this section of the book. I would argue that if the department becomes involved in advising or facilitating liquidation of business deals, it is that delay itself open to accusations of massive corruption. I'll give you an example. I would think that it is not going to be long before the department is accused of favoring one military veteran organization over another military veteran organization, or one faction of the military veteran organization against another faction of the military organization. It will not be long before the department are accused of behaving in a partisan manner in favoring a particular faction or military veteran organization in gaining access to business opportunities for them. I believe that we should warehouse the department from business, and that there should be no place for the department to be involved in facilitating. right to reflect on this in the best interest of the heart.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, if we can agree on what we are saying and meaning when we use the word advice, and I think as the general accepts and use the example of General Anderson, I will go along with that. Because he's in business, he's giving advice. Then we understand what we mean by advice. But I do have a serious problem with the word facilitated. That's being linked up with what does that say. Because when you say facilitate, then you're becoming a partner. Then you're getting involved in the transaction. Because that is what the word facilitation means. So it makes the department immediately a partner of the transaction. Because you facilitate. You're in that transaction. But if you want to give advice, as we want to say, and that's the way I actually understand it, then I will go along with that word at once. But to then delete the word facilitate, because I don't think we want the department to become a part of in that transaction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to say, the department has been established indeed to, and that's how I understand it, indeed to facilitate quality life for military veterans. We have to facilitate housing for them, facilitate health care, facilitate all the benefits as indicated under Section 5. Facilitation of participation in mainstream economy is another area that the department must get involved in. We are at this point as a country where we have destitute military veterans simply because as a country we only had over the past few years to facilitate that they also become involved in mainstream economy in the country. And this is why we understand a department was established for it then to facilitate those kinds of opportunities. And it is in this context where we want to plead with the portfolio committee and the department that we need a legislative framework that will enable us to do that kind of work. Indeed, we take note of the challenges as presented by honorable members as we move on in this particular area. And as a department, I think it is our responsibility to make certain that we put in place systems and checks and balances that will enable us to do right by military veterans who are destitute in this country. Thank you, Chairman.
Just to add to that, the explanation of the Honorable Member from the Bank is actually what we intend by that note. The explanation that was the area and even now when you start called the Honorable Member. In fact, if we read the Act on Litigation, we go back to Section 3, it says that all organs of state or government entities involved with military veterans affairs must cooperate with the department to ensure the achievement of the objects of this Act and see the available resources take reasonable legislation and other measures to achieve the progressive preservation level. So this speaks not only to that particular section on facilitation or advice on business opportunities, but also on the rest of the other issues of benefits that are listed in Section 5 with respect to that. Let me make it a real practical example. The Minister of Defense came to the office and said, I did a project for business with another department of state. It is now 12 months to 18 months. I have not been paid, my house is in recovery. I expect the following. Upon investigation, we engaged with that department and we were able to get a commitment that yes, indeed, they confirmed they are weak and that they will then be attainment, and then we resolved that situation of that investment house being recovered. Now, that's a real example, and those are the kind of things that we get consulted with. necessarily on a daily basis. Or I've identified some opportunity, or I'm training, or we don't necessarily do those things. We do that facilitation, point to the relevant institution in government, or even unlock them in terms of the administration only takes it to them a letter, official communication from one department to another, from the department to another entity outside the government, and all of that. So that is the intention. Having moved from the premise that the Department of Municipal is a one-stop shop. Now, we cannot do all of those things, but the least then to do this facilitation and advice to the without the impact of those things, which is the third entity has to be on the new and the full of it.
On that note, then proceed to the next section.
There was a attempt to
would monopolize the representation.
I suggest that the Honorable Mayor, you agree with all the other things else that you need to come from in besides this presentation act. Because we only put that in appearance and we move to accept everything else here and we move to cost eight.
That is correct. Unless I change my mind.
I want to put on record that what you've just said, that we can go along, but I don't define my mind again. I mean, we have a specific process we need to follow. And my brain is looking on the
computer. No, we recognize that. What we are doing here, Honorable Honorable, is for us to have an understanding of the whole country. And thereafter, we know that we are going to go into the, the normal process. Yes, the normal process of cross by cross. For now, we are trying to deal with the bill and complete all our concerns, and thereafter, then come to the normal process. Honorable Minister?
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I'm happy to proceed on that basis, provided you recognize that I'm not concluded from additional amendments, and I tried to cover that in my document where I say that I reserve my right to file a
paragraph.
Thank you, Chair. First, Chair, on clause 8, the heading, I would like us to do away with the South African National Mental Health. But go to subsection 3, subsection 3D. That there, we talk of provided such organization is recognized by the minister as an umbrella, non-governmental organization or association established in respect of military veterans that no police represent interest of military veterans. It must be an umbrella group in our nature.
Now,
Lena.
I agree with Honorable Daniel that we need to give attention to clause A3B. My proposal is slightly different. It's simply that we delete the section from which was from provided to veterans. In other words, that you retain military veterans organization compensated in paragraph A and engage the minister or other person or structure established or referred to in the I'm not in the monopoly business. I think that individual organization should be able to position and engage with the political organization.
Thank you, Chair.
I didn't really understand what was.
Okay. Hello, I won't be able to point to you this time.
I will repeat myself. I propose in clause 8 of section 3 that we delete the following. We read, provided such organization is recognized by the minister as a non-governmental organization or association established in respect of military veterans that will be representing the interests of military veterans. I propose that we delete that. The section simply reads that military veterans organization contemplated in paragraph A may engage the minister or other persons or structures established in the I do not think it should be our business to legislate away the rights of individuals or organizations to engage with the minister or with the department. And it seems to me that that would be the case.
You know
what
I'm asking?
Then, Chair, what are we saying? I can make an appointment with the minister and be sure that this act recognizes me as a minister. All we are merely saying, we're not monopolizing. All we are saying is that military veterans belong to member associations. That will then be part of an umbrella body. That then will be given a space to meet with the minister or the powers that be. We are not saying monopolize the space. Because subsection 3A does call to a military veterans organization is not obliged to join the association. They reserve the right. But also, those who are part of the umbrella body must be given the same space. Also, I'm saying not to individualize or to give individual space, because then there'll be a long life wanting to meet with the minister. Is that really satisfying?
Thanks, Chef. Thanks, Chef. One thing that we must be true to ourselves when dealing with this matter. Military veteran would be a contested terrain going forward. That's the blatant truth. But that does not really suggest that whoever loses a debate in a collective bargaining environment should be given a right to make an appointment with the minister, or else the poor Thabang Mokotjo will have greater belief. It's a nonsense that this is contested defense. But having said that, it's a known fact that not all of us like to be led. Some of us like to lead. And even if I lead a small organization with 20 people, you can imagine how many splinter groups will emerge should this be passed into law and people lose debate in a collective bargaining forum. They would splinter groups will come thick and fast, all of them knowing that they've got access to the minister. For God's sake, the minister has got some other things to do. I would really support Honorable Daniel. Thank you.
Chair, I think that any military veteran or any military veteran organization should be invited to meet the minister. It doesn't mean that the minister is obliged to meet with the individual or the organization. But the last thing that this committee should be engaging with is trying to legislate the minister's diet.
Do I conclude that with the I don't see it as a statement, but I see it as a matter of language. how we interpret what we are saying. Am I correct?
Sir, in fact, it's not a minister, it's a ministry. I'm thinking, because there's a unit of the office.
No, when the law refers to Mlambo, it may be referring to Mlambo service. So in this case, it is referring to the minister's service teaching, the hierarchy of the DG and so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth. We know that the law refers to the department, it doesn't refer specifically to the minister. I think we are aware of that. However, I think Honorable Nana is also correct to think that the queue in the minister's office will be bigger than a queue at the pastor. So, are we in agreement? Do we accept it as it is drafted?
I would suggest that we would accept it as drafted, but there was a little correction by the honorable member. I don't know if that change about the umbrella board. Not really to mention the analogy between application.
Am I correct to interpret that anything that you see in this legislation, if it existed before the passing of the legislation, at the acceptance of the legislation by the president signing that legislation, that life begins at once? Am I correct to say that? Remember?
Yes, sir. All you are saying, while explaining the principle of the body, not the name of a body that is in existence or not in existence, you are in a community state. Immediately this being connected into law, the next, then life to be finished.
I ask the department to reflect on the amendment, if it is an accepted amendment.
Yes. Yes, it is. One area that we could advise on is with respect to the preceding phrase. It's not there in the text now, but something that speaks about the organization of the umbrella, national umbrella association, because as it is, there's no mention, it just goes straight into whether it's named or not. So the amendment that has been proposed. But in addition to saying that we remove the name before that, it to, I don't know the combination, but the legal thinking, but it to introducing the existence of the national minister. So which means that would then be in above paragraph 8.
So you will give us a new thinking there is no more can we move on? Are you coming with a new thing, Honorable Daniel?
No.
Can we move on?
Yeah, I'd like to propose an amendment to Clause 11 in the document I gave you. I made an error with this as Clause 10. Clause 11, yeah, I apologize. My proposed amendment is that the powers of the Union of the Advisory Council, and my intention there is to compel the Advisory Council to review and advise the Minister annually on the membership verification process. My view that one of the risks will be the membership verification process. I think it's always going to be an aspect of the department functions which is going to be controversial. And I would propose we compel the Advisory Council to review that process annually. So I propose that in Clause 11, one, we introduce a new to human beings. No, we don't. Now,
we should also understand that this resolution was subjected to the permission of the chief and the office of chair of chair. And in this new development, I don't know if the permission has been granted, but the office of the chairperson submitted a request for the permission, and you will hear from Mandy, and as soon as she gives an indication, then you will be free to go. Honorable Mayor?
Just in terms of our procedure, two honorable members are not presently being discussed yet. They want to attend an audition to briefly recap so that they have an opportunity to ask those things that they have to say over.
Let me invite the DG to do that.
So thank you, Chair. As the honourable member says, discussed in the news, yesterday marked the change of command of the South African National Defence Force. The chief of the National Defence Force, General Fonseca, was handing over command to the incoming chief, that is the General Tony Shock, who was the chief of the army. That day, ceremony took place yesterday. So today is the conclusion of that turning over process, culminating in a farewell dinner in honor of the outgoing chief of the Defence Force and the incoming chief of the Defence Force. And the matter of the committee of the Liberation of the Force was the attendance of the committee. The committee did appoint or approve that they maybe in terms of five members, that the two have volunteered, but is there any other come forward, provide that detail, and then we will then another thing.
Yeah. Seeing that there is no response after
Chair, I took out honorable ideas, but I mentioned to speak. Chair, thank you very much for the invite. As you know, today was the debate was part of the still on. They will be having a similar thing and a prayer in both of them. But unfortunately, I will not be able to attend any of the two because I must be back in the same place this evening and come back tomorrow morning for my caucus. I'm going to report it to you in the same place. Thank you.
You said you are one of the parts. I did not give you anything. Do you want to make a comment?
So my comment is, thank you for the invitation statement, but if I understand you correctly, only five members of the committee can come. So it seems that he already decided that he's one of the five.
No, only two volunteer members. My assumption was that they still three for three people.
Yeah, we can't deliberate in the absence of the additional three people. We can only deliberate if there are additional members who want to join the group. Now, I'm not sure if we want to also speak for people that are not here.
Chairperson, I propose that, if I understand correctly, there are two members already. I will propose if we don't get three other members that those three, two people will eat the food of the three other people.
Honorable members, we have come to the conclusion of our deliberations today. The meeting is adjourned.